Nobody wants your opinion.
This is DT and Taylor, Opinions from the Couch.
3, 2, 1.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Opinions from the Couch. I'm DT.
I'm Taylor.
Taylor in the house.
Yes, my house.
Woo. As always, we kick this show off giving updates on each of our lives, personal things that have been going on with us. Any kind of media we've jumped into this week, movies, TV, music, tech, whatever it may be. So, Taylor.
Yes.
Kick us off and let us know what's happening in the world of the Burgers.
Dear Diary, week 2 of DT is my boss. things are going great. He's over my shoulder, so going great. Yeah, but yeah, it's been an interesting week. Working under my co-host here still, getting used to getting the kinks out of doing stuff. We're doing new things for the church, like implementing new things and stuff like that. So it's been fun. Not much really for me this week. I ain't done too much, but I've been literally doing church stuff all week, getting some stuff going for some trying to upgrade our website and app still. That's fun. So hopefully we're reaching the end of that cycle. So that's fun. No new movies, but no new TV shows, but music. I've been really liking the album Lion by Elevation Worship. Full King and Country dropped a new album I'm not the most fond of yet. I'm still listening to it, it's okay. And I'm still listening to Save the Skies, what it's called.
Yes.
Still listening to that on blast. So, new music on that, waiting for some albums to drop, looking forward to. MGK's album coming out on the 25th.
Pray on it.
But praying that it's not mostly rap, which I'm kind of scared on that one.
I don't even want half rap.
He don't want no rap.
I want maybe just the one song they put out already, and the rest, no.
Yep, but we got some fun stuff at the church going on. DT's getting them children, doing some... community service project, so that's been fun. So we got a new luncheon coming up, which means that we have a growth of new moments to the point where we have enough to where we can do a luncheon for them. Oh. So that's a good
party.
That's good. We're having new folks join the church. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of our updates from now on to be church oriented because we both live there.
Maybe, yeah.
Possibly. And the Batman is still fantastic.
It was, yes, it was.
We discussed that last week. Still recovering from it.
I was shocked to see its numbers though from week one, and they said it had a better domestic opening than Spider-Man, which I was like, get out of town.
Crazy.
But I love the Batman, so I'll take it.
Yep. Yeah. How's your week been, boss?
Yeah, so for me, it's been fun and it's been awesome. Adjusting to the new job and the new schedule, work's been great. Like, it really doesn't feel like work. There's obviously a lot happening and things to get used to.
Go back a year ago from today, different tune. I hate my job today. Boom. So
this one just feels like you're getting to do something you like and you get to see people that you like.
Well, we both are praying for you to get this for like a year and a half now. So.
That's good, man. Hopefully, you know, we can get it all down to a science.
I give you crap, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. So.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry
to
burn to you.
Okay, it's okay.
Keep going, friend.
But hopefully we can get all this stuff that we're doing down pat so that we'll be smooth sailing moving forward. But it's really not like any of it hadn't been an issue, man. It's just a learning process on some of it. But I feel good about it.
Put you on the spot real quick. How's it feel to be back in student ministry after a little hiatus from that?
Yeah, it feels great, man. It's like riding a bike, I guess. You just jump back on. Because I left at the end of 2017. So it was 18, 19, 20, 21. So 4 years.
Boom.
And, I mean, I filled in a few times and I did camp stuff in that time frame, but
this is your house.
But it's good to be back, like, teaching the teenagers at church. And so far, so good. But, yeah, no new movies or TV for me. I've just been kind of going to work and going home, like, which is strange for me. But, you know, cool at the same time that I get to be awake during the daylight and sleep at night. I'm, like, the opposite of a vampire now, so it's good.
Yeah, start getting sunlight and get your skin a little darker.
Yeah, I just hadn't had a lot of time, really, to watch anything. I'm not complaining, though. Like, I don't feel like I've missed anything. I didn't really get into any new music, but I did listen to a couple of 1998 Blink-182 songs on the way over here. So,
is that how you wind down the day?
I stay on brand. Yeah, pop a little emo on. Yeah, nothing's going to change about me being mad at girls. So, just mark that down on your things we thought would change about DT when he got this job. That's not one of them. I'm still going to be like, whoa, yeah.
Someone's got like a list, like, oh, check that one off.
Yeah, happy, great. Sleeping at night, great. More friendly, great.
More friendly to Babel.
Yeah. Depending on who you run into, I guess.
Yeah, depends on who you've interacted with.
Who I've just talked to.
Yeah, depends on. It's what DT is one of those I can tell like how to act, but it's like when you approach a bear. Okay, this bear is not mad, so I can approach cautiously. DT is like a bear.
Yeah, don't poke the bear.
Plus, I can typically hear you if you're upset because you're loud. So I can hear you before I get to your vicinity. Like, yep, gonna just go back.
Okay. Is that the telltale sign?
I've learned your ways. I've learned you get loud and typically.
Grumpy.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, but this is a righteous, angered, grumpy DT before you're like, I hate my life DT. This is different.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll try to do better. So you ready to...
Giving y'all a sneak peek.
Jump into some headlines?
I'm ready to jump to the deep end because even though I can't swim, let's do it.
All right. So...
Boom.
Inflation.
Ooh.
In the United States of America.
America.
Has hit a 40-year high. So... The cost of things hadn't gone up this much in 40 years. With everything from gas to energy to groceries going sky high, gas in our area, for instance, has shot up to well over $4 in some areas, up from $1.80 and less over the last 2 years. Some places in our country are over $7. So thank goodness we don't live in like Los Angeles. This has made things difficult, obviously, and it's made it harder for people to get things like gas and groceries, because, spoiler, nobody's making any more money, but the cost of everything's going up. So what do we think about all of this inflation stuff happening? Taylor.
Chill. So I'm not surprised due to recent events, but it's been going up slowly, basically, since Biden got in office, essentially, but... they're like, it's Russia's, the issue of Russia's the reason, but I read an article that we only got 8% of our gas, like oil, came from Russia. Mm-hmm. So it's not a big deal. So I think this is kind of the government's way of, hey, we sent out a lot of money, those stimulus checks and child tax credits. We need to hike some stuff.
We're gonna recoup some of that.
Like, we need to raise the price of gas and spam.
Yeah.
But... I'm filling up the gas tank is getting kind of sad. It's the minimum we fill up now is $40. That's like the minimum.
Yeah.
For a PT Cruiser.
Right, yeah. Mine on empty, $55.
I'm saying PT Cruiser before.
My car's smaller than yours.
I'm just saying it's getting crazy. We can afford the PT Cruiser and have a half tank. Now,
when I bought my car, filling up from E was $20, and that was in 2020, and now 2 years later, $55.
Yep. So I'm not surprised about it going up, and I'm afraid until this stuff in Russia's over, it's going to keep going up. Sadly, but anything we can do about it, but complaining on a podcast,
yeah.
So we're going to have to squeeze our peas together and. So, but we don't fill up once a week, so it's not too bad, but still, But yeah, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so I don't pretend to be as knowledgeable with all this stuff as some people. Like, I know it's been a slight and steady increase ever since Biden took office. But, I mean, I'm sure it's not all his fault, personally. Byron. But it's gone off the rails, definitely, since the issues with Russia started the past few weeks. And I'm not sure how Russia invading Ukraine makes our gas go up $2 to $3, but, you know, I'm sure there's a reason in there somewhere. But, I mean, much like with anything, they're not going to tell us the whole truth. So we just kind of got to accept it and live with it. I just hope that it doesn't last that long. Like, I feel like everyone was already kind of reeling from COVID and the economy wasn't great to begin with. So I just don't want to see people not be able to survive on the money they make, you know, because that hurts everyone. If I have less money to pay my bills, for instance, less money to get gas and groceries because they're unaffordable, then I'm less likely to patronize businesses and give to churches and charities. Like, it just hurts everyone. Yeah,
but my wife said something about Biden's trying to debate on sending out more stimulus checks to help with the gas prices. Which is kind of thing. That's
backwards thinking.
That's very backwards thinking.
Yeah, so I think it hurts everyone in the long run. I've noticed in some areas, because like I buy these gallon jugs of water almost every day, and they went up 20 cents, and they were the same price for like the last 15 years. They've been 99 cents for as long as I can remember, and now they're $1.19.
I'm starting to drain that jug water.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what in the world? Like, what changed about this? And it's been the same price for like 20 years. Now it's gone up. Like, I don't know, man. But, like, it just hurts everyone because you're going to have restaurants and things and people not going to go because, like, I literally, a preacher was telling me yesterday, like, people weren't coming. Literally told him they weren't coming to the event because of the gas prices.
No.
So, like, this hurts everyone's, like, thing they got going on.
Yeah, people will be picking where they go, I guess. But.
So.
Imagine, like, because we have a family in our church, they drive a school bus on a regular basis. Literally, a little school bus on a regular basis.
Well, that's going
you're spending $40 for a PT Cruiser. Imagine filling that bus. That's a sad time right there.
That's going to hurt. But let's jump off inflation a little bit.
Speaking of someone getting inflated.
Well, yeah, my favorite place on earth, Dunkin' Donuts.
That's debatable. I thought you liked Cracker Barrel and Benny's.
Well, there's a lot of places.
I'm the same you got.
So a Dunkin' Donuts employee recently killed a man, if you can believe that. And he killed him by punching him one time. He must be a boxer on the side. The employee, whose name is Corey Pulhos, struck a 77-year-old man who was arguing with the store employees in the drive-thru. The article that I linked said that he was very argumentative, throwing out curses and all these things, and they asked him to leave. Instead, he parked his car and came into the store like an old person and began to berate the employees to their faces. He threw racial slurs at Pulhos, who asked him not to, but he continued. Pulhos struck the gentleman in the head, who died later at the hospital from a skull fracture that caused brain contusions.
Yeah.
So Pulhos was sentenced to 2 years probation and community service, and people were wondering kind of how he got off so lightly. And the judge and them cited that he's very young, so his youth and how he did not have any criminal record were the reasons why they did not charge him with manslaughter and give him a harsher sentencing. So, what do we think about this whole story?
Well, kind of comparing that, I'll compare this kind of to our next story in a minute. But this one, you don't punch old people in the face despite them getting wound up about your business and calling you. That's really not something you're supposed to be doing, being in a public eye like that. Yeah, the guy shouldn't have been calling you racial slurs. If you don't punch him in the face, you just call the police or call your manager. Don't punch your grandpa in the face. Or people get wound up by donuts and coffee. It's just, that's way of life. So I think the kid was out of line a little bit with that. You should have, you need to control your temper a little bit. And I don't condone what the old guy was doing, but you don't punch people in the face, old, young, like that. Especially 77 years old, they're hanging off of your life as it is.
Yeah, my granny ain't never thrown no racial slur at anybody, but she's given plenty of people reason to punch her.
Yeah, I'm saying, people, you have to be tolerable with elderly people, knowing how crazy they get. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't really charge him with murder since he died from it, but yeah, I'm kind of surprised a little bit.
A little crazy.
And they're like, oh, because he's young and stuff.
You can't get murder. Murder is a charge, and I've learned this. Thank you. Murder is what you get when you intentionally kill somebody. Manslaughter is what you get when it's an accident.
How did you learn this?
Because I worked at
making sure
jail for 15 years.
I'm making sure you didn't try.
Yeah, I tried to kill somebody. Didn't tell nobody. But no, murder is when you have intentionality and you plotted and you had intent to kill somebody. Manslaughter would be like if you clip somebody with your car on accident, or like him, you hit him. You just intended to hurt him, but he died.
Gotcha. Yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't. I think he did get, either way, he got off a little too late, I think. Maybe a year or two more. I'm not a judicial person, but I think especially I'm pretty sure he's had to go through like anger management counseling or whatever.
He did. That was in there. I just didn't put it in my spiel.
That's fine. But yeah, it's wild. That's not good for a public employee to do. But
yeah.
So yeah, you don't punch people in the face, old people especially.
Yeah, for me, I felt like it was one of those tricky scenarios because, like Taylor said, I mean, the older man should have never gotten out of his car and went inside getting in people's faces talking junk. But regardless of what he said, if he wasn't being physically violent, I would just have waited for the police to come and handle it or gotten somebody else to step in. Like, also, he's near 80 years old and maybe I'm a teenager or I'm a early 20s man. Like, I'm in my prime. I should know that punching an 80-year-old man is not going to end well. Them jokers is fragile. They fragile. So, I think this young man, I mean, he needs to be grateful, I guess, because I think he's getting off because of the nature of why he hit the old man, because nobody wants to murk up the water over, like, racial things. I don't think we can start letting people get off the hook so easily. Yeah. You know, I'm sure they let this one slide because the old man said some terrible junk.
Still with some reason
to die. Yeah, but if we start letting that go, then it's going to, I mean, they're going to have to keep letting it go. You know what I mean?
Well, our judicial system's been wild for years, so nothing's possible.
It's going to set a precedent where, you know, somebody can saying something terrible and physically violent are not the same thing. Like, they both have a degree of terrible nature to them, but one is greater than the other. So, like, this man may have called Pujols a dirty name, but that old man is dead now. Like, I mean, think about it for a second. Like, he may have been an ornery, stinky old man who said something terrible.
Yeah.
But that kid could have gone home that night with a bag full of leftover Dunkin' Donuts, went home and kissed his girlfriend and been fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this man, he died. Like, he might have had kids and a wife or whatever. And like, those two crimes aren't equal, in my opinion. So, I don't want the country to start setting a precedent where it's like, hey, if somebody calls me a fat, stinky SOB, I can punch them in the head and get away with it if they die. Like, that's just, those things don't equal out to me. So I don't know. But moving on, a former UFC champion, he was a heavyweight champ of the world, Cain Velasquez, was arrested recently and charged with attempted murder, among a few other charges. But Velasquez took vigilante justice into his own hands when a 43-year-old man who molested Cain's 4-year-old son was released from jail immediately after being arrested with no bond. So Velasquez basically hunted down and found the man.
Yeah.
He rammed his car into the man's car and then shot into it. Didn't kill him, but he definitely injured some of the people that were in that car. Kane, in the aftermath of this arrest, has received tremendous support from fans and online community and stuff like this. I was watching the pay-per-view last Saturday, UFC, because I was real wanting to see that Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal fight, and they both said something like free Kane. But he was a father who went irate after his child experienced something terrible. But Kane now faces a 20-year prison sentence if convicted on all his charges. So what do we think about this? Taylor.
So I'm on the fence on this one because of the last story. The kid actually killed an old man, like we said, and got to go home. Kane Velasquez over a racial slur. That's, like you said, these crimes don't fit. Here you have someone who molested a four-year-old boy. That crime is heinous and terrible, right. Disgusting. And right. They just let him go, like, all right, slap him the wrist, keep going. Yeah. That's not going to sit with any father.
Kane attacked him, but didn't kill him. He's still alive.
Any father would have done the same thing. Yeah. Now, me, I would have done the same thing with my daughter. I would probably have to get help because I'm not intimidating. And you won't see me clipping nobody if I don't drive. But I'll get someone. I got people. I got people that's not in ministry. Kane was very upset over that, which justifiably, but he kind of went a little too far, and now this is where on the fence, because now his son has the trauma of that to deal with, and if Kane gets convicted, he's going to be without his father for the rest of his childhood. Because he would be about 20.
He'd be
25 when Kane gets out. So I think Kane kind of, he meant well in a way, but he didn't really think of the ramifications of this. So if he gets convicted, he ain't going to see his son grow up or anything. So it's kind of sad in that regard. It's just a nasty story, and this kind of makes me upset with the judicial system because child molestation is not something people take it seriously. So I'm surprised they didn't do more to the guy that did it. So
it must have. The only thing I can think of is it must have been an allegation without any corroboration or evidence. I don't know.
But it just shows how weird the judicial system. The justice system,
as we've talked on previous episodes.
Trying to sound smart, but I don't condone Kane's actions. I thought that was, he went a little wild, but again, I understand. And any father of a son, especially a daughter, would do the same thing. So it's just a wild situation, and it's not going to fare well for Kane in the long run.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it's like to have something like that happen to your child. It's one of those kind of worst case scenarios that maybe he left him with somebody that he trusted, because obviously he knew who this guy was and where to find him. And they do something as terrible as molesting a child. I don't think I would be able to control my emotions. Like, I get mad just hearing about bad things that happen to kids I know that aren't my kids. Like, so I can't imagine if it was my own kid. It's got to be tough. I guess it's all about trying to control your emotions and actions, but I can't really blame Kane for what he did. I don't condone it, but I understand, I guess. It's not the route maybe I would have taken, but I can understand losing control. Like, if the guy who did something that terrible to your child was just set free. It's like, maybe they tried to do the right thing. They called the police. He got arrested. You know, we tried to do it the right way, and y'all let him go. Like, I could see spazzing out, I guess, a little over that. So, I hope this situation kind of works out in the end, since the man didn't die, thankfully. Maybe they'll let Kane go home and be with his family. Right. But let's move on to the lighter section of the show, the entertainment headlines.
Something else to upset you.
Yeah, upsetting, but nobody got killed or shot or had to pay $50 for gas. So, entertainment headlines. In a shocking move this past week, DC and Warner Brothers have pushed back their three movies that were slated to drop in the rest of 2022. The first being The Rock starring Black Adam, which moves now from May to July. That one's actually staying.
You said The Rock starring Black Adam?
It's The Rock starring in Black Adam. There we go. His movie actually stays in 2022, but it's moving back a few months. But The Flash and Aquaman 2 have both lost their 2022 dates and get pushed back into next year. Aquaman 2 won't release until March of 2023, and The Flash moves the farthest away to June 2023, after being delayed multiple times prior to this. This news came with no explanation from the studios as to why they were doing it.
They made a cover-up, but...
Yeah, in the past, they've kind of... With Marvel moving their movies, they've kind of said, well, we're trying to avoid this movie to this movie and COVID things and all this. They tried to say, Taylor found it on Facebook, that The Flash moved because of Batman's 34th anniversary. And I was like, nobody believes that. What made this thing a real shocker was that The Batman that recently came out earned nearly $300 million in its 1 week of release, which is, like, bonkers. It made more money in its opening weekend than No Way Home, Spider-Man. So I don't know why they are panicking, DC and Warner Brothers, because they just had a real success. So what do we think about all this? And do we think there's any good reason why they delayed these movies?
I'm going to keep my response brief, because DT is the one that's been affected by this. This dude literally stopped talking to me, said goodnight, and got assault, basically. This dude did, I thought he was kidding, but he shut things down. He talked to me late the next day. It wasn't even in the morning, because we talk on a regular basis now about work and stuff. This dude said, he's in our court, I gotta go stew over this Flash news, goodnight. Not no goodnight bud, not no party signs. He even punctuated after the goodnight. I'm like, this dude means business. I need to put my phone on silent so I won't hear nothing.
I was so excited.
I've seen DT upset a few times over things, but this dude had to shut down for the night after this news broke. But for me, I'm not surprised. But I am most surprised about The Flash, since that movie is technically done. Almost like 90% done.
It's done,
but they're gonna be like, let's push it back a year, and then they try to throw the blame on Batman. I don't know if something's happened and they gotta remake some stuff. I don't know, maybe something fell through with somebody, I don't know. But it's just crazy, and I know DT's about to unload on y'all, so grab your tissues. grab your tissues. And enjoy the rant. So.
It really upset me. It did.
Yeah.
Because I saw it and I was like, get out of town, man. Because I was so excited for this Flash movie. And it ain't even because I like The Flash. It's because I like Batman. Like, I'm a Batman fangirl. And this movie was going to be DC's No Way Home, basically. It was going to be the opening of their multiverse. And I know for a fact that it had Ben Affleck's Batman and Michael Keaton's Batman in it. And I was really kind of hoping they was keeping one sneaky on us.
Yeah, you know I put up a conversation with you real quick.
Yeah.
He said, I will be inconsolable now until the morning. it's like a poem. I must go be emo over not getting on Michael Keaton Batman this year. Good night.
my
good night to
you. Yeah, but I know, like, this movie, I know it has those two, Keaton and Affleck, in it. I was hoping they were trying to keep a secret and have maybe Bale's Batman in it too. And then, like, this year had the three Spider-Man, last year had the three Spider-Man, this year had the three Batman, which, in my opinion, like, I know it ain't everybody's opinion, but my opinion is way better. That one just, I mean, it It made me mad.
I bought him a Batman magazine I can feel better.
It did, and I can't wait to read it. I was looking forward to that probably more than any other movie for the rest of the year. Like, I'm excited for, like, Doctor Strange and Thor, but I know, like, those are going to be baller. It was just kind of like, man, we get to see, like, Michael Keaton, like, again.
Yeah, well, you've been talking about it for months.
Yeah, I was like, super excited.
It's a shame.
That movie's already been delayed multiple times. Like, from the start, they changed writers and directors, and, like, it's just been a hodgepodge of nonsense.
Well, like, Morbius got the same treatment. They've been delayed for years.
Probably won't be good. I mean, I'll go see it, but so for it to get pushed back a whole year, when I mean, it's done, it's made, it's ready to go. Like, it's just sad. My only theory with these movies getting moved, I think they probably moved Black Adam to get it out of competition with Doctor Strange, because they were both getting released in March, and I mean, nobody knows who Black Adam is except for me. Like, Doctor Strange was going to dominate that month without a doubt. So I think they probably moved that, and then they moved Shazam 2 up to this year because, for those of you that aren't as nerdy as me and don't know, Black Adam becomes Shazam's number one villain. He's like the Joker to Batman. He's Shazam's like biggest antagonist. So that's my only theory with those two movies getting moved around, is like, hey, while Black Adam's fresh in people's minds, let's give them Shazam so we can connect them. Aquaman was coming out like the week before Avatar 2, so maybe they moved that one to get out of competition with that movie, because Avatar is probably going to be massive. But The Flash didn't make any sense to move to me. Like, that one was just nonsense. It's coming out in November, didn't have any competition. I know none of these movies are moving because of COVID, because, like, nobody cares about that anymore. I don't know, man. I just think these movie studios have gotten used to doing what they want and delaying movies and moving them around so much the last 2 years that now they just think, hey, this is normal practice, and if we want to do it, we can do it. But, like, it makes me angry. It's infuriating. And I won't tolerate it, Taylor. Yeah, okay, I'm done. But moving on to Disney, who's not delaying their movies. Mm-hmm. Pinocchio. Mm-hmm. You remember that one?
I do.
Is going to be crowding up the streaming movie market soon, with both Disney Plus and Netflix both releasing Pinocchio movies over the next year or so, I guess. Disney released an image from their film, which is starring Tom Hanks as Geppetto and a Pinocchio doll that looks very similar to the original Disney animated version. Disney's film is also being directed by Robert Zemeckis, who was the director of Back to the Future and Forrest Gump, baller status. Netflix's Pinocchio is going to be a stop-motion animated film with a voice cast of Ewan McGregor and David Bradley. Their film is directed by Guillermo del Toro, who's the director of Hellboy and The Shape of Water. So what do we think about all this Pinocchio hype? Why are all these studios making Pinocchio films? And which one do we think will be better, Disney or Netflix? Taylor.
So, I'm excited for both these movies, but out of the two, I'm excited for Disney because they got my boy Tom Hanks in there. Tom Hanks as Geppetto is awesome. I'm excited for that, to see he'll kill that, I'm sure. And he's got a pretty busy year playing him and then playing a mean guy for Elvis.
Don't know who's voicing Pinocchio. They said Joseph Gordon-Levitt's voicing Jiminy Cricket in the Disney one.
If it's not
Ewan McGregor's Jiminy Cricket in the
It's also about Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. I wish I was a real boy.
If it's not Ben Stein, I don't want it. Yeah. If it's not Ben Stein, I don't want it. You need somebody with a wild voice, so I don't know.
To be Pinocchio?
Yeah.
He
kind of talks like a girl. Just get Jim Gaffigan to do it. He can do a good high voice.
Probably get a kid. Speculation.
Nah, probably not. I don't know.
Almost guaranteed.
Probably. Pretty funny.
He's a boy.
I'm only That's what he claims. I'm only there with Tom Hanks. I don't care about Pinocchio. It's Tom Hanks on my screen. Makes me a happy boy. Makes me feel like a real boy. Tom Hanks is my dad.
Go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Yeah, he's excited. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to Tom Hanks' Geppetto. I mean, I'll watch Netflix's. I think it's the other one. Yeah, Netflix's. Yeah. I'll watch both eventually, but Tom Hanks is on my list number one because he's Tom Hanks.
I don't think people remember how bonkers Pinocchio is. Like, and the Disney version is a live-action version. So, like, you remember, like, these kids get kidnapped by a circus and get, at one point, they get turned into donkeys. And then he gets eaten by a whale like Jonah. Like, man, that's a lot to happen in a live-action movie. So, I always liked the Pinocchio cartoon, the Disney one. It was one of the more disturbing Disney animated movies. I do remember the villain in that's name was like Stromboli, though, which always made me hungry. I think Del Toro will make that aspect shine in his version because he's known for making creepy and scary movies like Pan's Labyrinth and Hellboy. But of course, I'm more on board with the Disney version. You can't go wrong with Tom Hanks. And Robert Zemeckis has made some of my all-time favorite movies. In Back to the Future trilogy, Forrest Gump, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like that dude's, like, he always ups the ante with the like movie making techniques and whatnot. Like every movie he's done has done something that people are like, what in the world? How did he do that? Like Forrest Gump being in all them like old timey scenes, and then Who Framed Roger Rabbit was like animated characters interacting with humans. And people are like, how in the world?
Yeah, he's pushing
he's always pushing the boundaries. So yeah. I'm more excited for his version. I think that'll be the more baller version. But both Zemeckis and Del Toro have made movies that have won Best Picture.
If he doesn't say he just started running, I'm quitting. I'm walking
through. Yeah, but they're both great filmmakers. Like, yeah. Forrest Gump and The Shape of Water both won Best Picture. So I guess it'll be interesting to see which one ends up being better. I mean, it's hard to compare a live-action movie to a stop-motion animated movie. But we'll see.
But we will.
Yeah, we're gonna.
We're gonna do it.
So, the wrestler, Sting.
Yeah.
He got to release a really cool article this past week in the Players Tribune. He really details his career from the start of it to now. He talks about all his struggles with addiction, but it was really awesome to just read how he shared his love of Jesus and how much Jesus has changed his life. It was cool. I've seen them release these articles over time. Many athletes have written personal articles for the Players Tribune. I think Kobe probably had the most famous in Dear Basketball because they ended up making that into a short film that won the Oscar. But what do we think about this Sting article? And second question is there anyone else we'd like to see one of these cool articles from in any sport arena, including wrestling? Taylor,
hit us with it. So, yeah, the article was fantastic. I read it. Very, very good. It was a very, like, good peek behind the, like, his process of how he, basically, he's remorse of his past, but he's thankful for Jesus and his ability to have a future and be still wrestling. And at 62 years old, this guy's jumping off a bout of, like, barriers on the tables and stuff that, because in 2014, he was supposed to retire because he had a neck injury. Mm-hmm. And now he's jumping on tables like he's no one's business. But this arc was very cool, and he's been in a few Christian films I've seen over the years. One was an indie film. I can't remember the name of it. It was one of those you could watch on YouTube. I'm like, oh, it's Sting. He played an atheist. I can't remember the name of it, but it was very, very good. It was about him in a diner. He ended up stuck in a diner. There's some guy on Pure Flix that plays Jesus and a lot of stuff. He was in there. Good. It was a pretty good movie, I think. I didn't know he was a Christian until then. I'm like, oh, then I saw looking.
I didn't know until I read this article.
I mean, I knew it. I watched that movie in 2017. I'm like, oh, Sting's a Christian. What's funny is those are the people that that are Christians in wrestling, like him and the Undertaker, are the most Satanist looking characters on the planet. And both of them are, like, I think Undertaker, he's Methodist, I think.
So Sting, whose real name is Steve Borden, has been in The Encounter, and he's been in Revelation Road 1 and 2. He's been in a movie called Everyday Life.
The Encounter's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay. And that's it. He was on Walker, Texas Ranger in the 90s. Three movies he's been in are The Encounter, Everyday Life, Revelation Road.
The Encounter's the one. I was just looking up Christian movies to watch, and that popped up. And it was a little cheesy, but it was a good... he was cool in it. He's very... And a lot of wrestlers are Christians, surprisingly, if you look into their history and stuff. But the Players Tribune has had a few articles from wrestlers in AEW. One posted in November from an AEW wrestler, Eddie Kingston. He opened up about his mental health over the years. And he said, basically, my mental health is bad. I wanted to fight everybody in the world and didn't care. And he's talking about overcoming depression and alcoholism and all that stuff. So that was a good article I read. If I was someone who I would want to, like, I didn't think that far through, but anything wrestling wise, I'd be cool to hear. Like, I like to hear an open candid article from Bret Hart about Owen Hart's situation. That'd be something I'd like to hear. Like Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero, people that you knew that were friends and stuff. I'd read on Chris Benoit's son if he did one. So like that. That'd be a cool articles to read from wrestling perspective. As far as sports in general, I'd be interested to hear something from Steph Curry, and I'll read the Bond.
He might already have one, for real.
He might. I'm pretty much, if it's wrestling related, I'll read it. Because I like peeking behind the curtains and that stuff. Like, Dark Side of the Ring has been phenomenal watching them. And so I like peeking behind the curtain and stuff like that. Sting's article was very cool, seeing how wild he was, and talking about something like his wrestling days and his addiction, and now he's still wrestling, but he's giving glory to God for the ability to still wrestle at 62, because a lot of people his age are dead now. Dusty Rhodes died at 61, I think. Roddy Piper died at 60.
Yeah.
So he realized how blessed he is to be wrestling still and not just alive. So it was a cool article, and I recommend you read it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I typically will engage in stuff if it's about, like, the older wrestlers, because I did watch wrestling a lot growing up. I think right around 2000, 2001, I quit watching wrestling. But prior to that, I was pretty engrossed by it. And Sting was always one of my favorite wrestlers when I did watch. I love watching those biography series on A&E. I think I watched every one of those. The Stone Cold, Piper, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Mankind, Ultimate Warrior. Like, I watched every one of those. And I also have watched a lot of the Dark Side of the Ring series on Vice, the Benoit one, the Plane Ride one. Yeah, watched the one about I watched the one about the Road Warriors. Yeah, that's some good stuff.
If you haven't watched them, I'd recommend it, because they dive very deep into stuff. If you haven't watched it, called Battle of the Brawl.
Yeah.
You watched that one?
Yeah.
That one was interesting. If you like wrestling and like
getting, either one of those shows, if you like wrestling, biography or Dark Side of the Ring, take you deep. But they haven't had one about Sting, so it was cool to read this article.
Well, usually they talk about stuff that was instrumental to the business in general, like Owen Hart's death was. Now, Sting's stuff was instrumental.
Well, even on biography, they haven't done Sting. But it's crazy to see what a lot of these guys went through, and Sting was no exception. Like, I can't imagine living out of my car, like, making $20 a show just because I want to be a professional wrestler.
Well, he didn't want to be a wrestler first anyway.
Yeah, he just said he was a bodybuilder, and they just kind of drug him into it.
He's like, I like it.
But then he got linked up with the Ultimate Warrior, and they rode around the country, like, barely making money, living in a car. It seemed like over time he fell into the same trap that a lot of these guys did with boozing and pain pills. But it was awesome that he was also redeemed from all of that. And the fact that he talks a lot about Jesus and gives him the credit for the reversal in his life is so awesome. And I think it's cool that the Players Tribune, which is just a national media conglomerate, let him speak on that without editing it out, you know, because the media is typically trying to squelch people from talking about the Lord. Thought it was cool that they let him put all that in there. I didn't know that Sting was a Christian until I read this, and I just thought that was cool to read. As far as anyone else writing another article I'd like to read, my favorite basketball player already wrote one, but I would like to read one from some of those baseball guys from the 90s, like Mark McGwire or Barry Bonds, who broke all the home run records and stuff, but then got caught up in the steroids scandal, and now they're not allowed in the Hall of Fame and all that. I like to hear how they feel about all of that and, you know, how it affected their careers, because those guys were like amazing ball players even before the steroid stuff happened. So I don't know, man, I'd like to dive deep into like what they got going on. But our last entertainment article is kind of more just for me, because Teo's not into it. But
I'll let you take it away.
Hopefully, once he gets done with the MCU that I forced him to dive through, maybe we can try some Star Wars and friendship fandom can be complete. It'll unify us. We'll start hearing Angel Choir singing once we get all this stuff in. But I felt like we should bring it up since it's a hot topic in the news. But the trailer for the show Obi-Wan dropped this past week, and it gave Star Wars fans a new look at a fan favorite character. They brought back Ewan McGregor from the prequels to play a middle-aged Obi-Wan who's looking after Luke, a young child Luke Skywalker, and trying to keep the Empire off his trail. So I guess the question was, any thoughts on the trailer? Taylor wrote on our outline, I didn't watch it. So
I didn't. I was going to, and I literally forgot about it.
Ain't no need, because I mean, you wouldn't have known.
Anything. I knew you'd have the scoop and be all excited for it. And
yeah,
you probably watched it 100 times.
About 3 or 4.
Top 10, though, I'm ready for you.
Yeah, okay. This is more my thing, but it sure did make my day when it dropped. Talked to some people. Larry Hunt even called, and we talked about it for a second.
Look at
that. Star Wars gets people cranked up.
Send my phone quest, please.
Yeah, oh my goodness. it bridges gaps, and it's great to see Ewan McGregor back as Obi-Wan. This one really made, because you see these memes all the time of him as Jesus. Like, because in the last movie, he did kind of look Jesus-esque with the beard and everything. Yes. And, like, kids will put his picture up in the house, and, like, their mom won't even notice because he looks so much like... He, even more in this, man. In this trailer, I was like, man, he's really Jesus-ing it up. There's a score from The Phantom Menace when Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon fight Darth Maul called Duel of the Fates. It's so iconic. Can't play it here because we'd probably get shut down, but they play that music in the trailer, and the second it hit, I was like, whoop! It just got me so cranked up. I fangirled all the way out. I do think this show will be really cool because it's set in an era that we really haven't seen and explored too much yet, because we have the prequels that led up into Anakin turning to the dark side and becoming Darth Vader, and then we have the movies that start with Luke like taking up his role, but there's a gap in there of about 20 years that there's no content, you know what I mean? And obviously
now we get that content.
Yeah, Obi-Wan was around doing stuff, and now we're going to get to see what he was doing while keeping an eye on young Luke. So I'm super excited for it. Disney Plus, killing it. You keep making my day. Moon Knight coming out. Obi-Wan coming out. Like, man.
Getting that Daredevil back on there.
Oh, yeah. They put all those on there, and they're going to make some new Daredevil.
I like the Iron Fist. I'm probably in the minority.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get no more of that one, because I liked it too, but most people didn't. But Disney Plus, I canceled like 40 streaming services this month, and Disney Plus was the only one I kept because I was like, man.
You kept HBO Max?
I didn't.
I'm using it.
Try it today.
I will. I might have to go back to them now.
But.
Got to watch on Euphoria.
I kept Disney because I need that Star Wars and Marvel content.
That's the only one you kept though, right? Was this Disney?
Disney, that's it.
I know your family's mourning a big loss right now.
That's sad. But that's it for the news, entertainment.
Speaking of villains.
Yeah. Villains. So this week on Top 10, Taylor and I are going to be counting down our Top 10 best movie villains. The villains we think are the best at being bad in the movies, from 10 to 1. So, Taylor, would you like to kick us off?
I will go.
Hit us with your number 10, 10, 10.
My number 10 is Percy Wetmore from The Green Mile.
Oh my goodness, right now. He is a bad dude.
Percy, when I saw this, a few out of my list, three names came up without me having to Google more villains, or four. I had to go in the wheelhouse a little bit, but Percy Wetmore is now. I never see a guy on screen that I want to punch in the face as fast as Percy Wetmore. This dude was he was crooked as a rainbow as a cop. He was just terrible. When he got his upcomings in the movie, I've never been so excited to see someone die in a movie in my life. But I'm like, yes, he deserved it. But he's just, he was just terrible. Just terrible, and he made me. He was good as a character, honestly, but I just didn't like that guy. I'm like, yeah, it was one of those. It was a good relief when he got his just desserts, and he's on number 10, Percy Wetmore from The Green Mile.
All right, my number 10 is Thanos from the MCU franchise. So he's gonna be the newest to the movies villain to make my list. He's not new in the history of Marvel because he's been in comics forever, but in the movies, he's probably the most recent villain on either of our lists. But they tease Thanos throughout these films as being this big looming presence, and I guess we suspected he'd all be trouble if he was going to be the main villain who's going to be worse than the villains we were already getting, like Loki and Ultron. Like, if this guy's going to be worse than them, like, I knew Thanos was a problem. And I'm going to tell you when I knew he was really a problem is when, in the beginning of Infinity War, he just basically mollywops the Hulk without even using Infinity Stones. Just gives him a butt whooping. And I was like, man, if he can just hand to hand beat up the Hulk, like, this dude's scary. Mm-hmm. So he was a formidable foe even without the Infinity Stones. But the Stones gave him the power to be an unimaginable foe. And I guess if you murder half the life in the entire universe, not just on Earth, but all known life in the whole universe, then that makes you a pretty high level villain, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're willing to just kill half of everything everywhere, it makes you a bad person. So, my number 10 best villain is Thanos.
My number 9 is Thanos.
Okay.
You got me.
Okay.
You got me.
I didn't know what you were doing, but the screen was moving.
I had 10.
I wish you'd just keep whatever you put.
I didn't switch. Okay. I had 9. Okay. I had 10. Okay. I had Thanos. I must have took it out by accident. All right. But number 9 is Thanos. I had him. Same thing DT said. That he's a very, what's the word? He's a very,
Crafty,
capable villain. The way he took all the Avengers to their limits individually and as a unit was unheard of. He tore the Hulk up a little bit, and he was the reason half the universe got wiped out. So nothing more heinous than killing half the universe. He's on number 9, Thanos.
Okay, my number 9 is Ivan Drago.
Ooh.
Okay, so he is from the movie Rocky 4. Mm. 1, 2, 3, 4. So he's probably one of the most cold-blooded cats ever to be in a movie, played by Dolph Lundgren. Rocky, of course, is the underdog hero of all of his movies. He's never, out of like 6 movies, he's never the guy who's like, they're like, he's definitely going to win this fight. In every single movie, he's the underdog. But I would say no more so than in this movie. He's always this guy who had to fight and scrap to the top. But in Rocky IV, Rocky's gone a little soft. He's let his fame and fortune get to him a little bit. Like, he's decided to take some steps back from boxing. Drago kills Rocky's best friend, Apollo. So if you've ever seen the new movies, Creed 1 and 2, that's Apollo's son, who's the main character in those movies. His dad was killed by Ivan Drago in Rocky IV in what was supposed to be just a fun boxing exhibition. It wasn't even a real fight for like any kind of title or like moving up in the ranks. It was just a, hey, let's make some money, put on a show for the people. It was a real spectacle. They had James Brown singing before it, and like, you know, it was all supposed to be fun, but Drago was not playing. And he gets in there and he kills Apollo, and at the end, they're like, what do you think about what's going on with Apollo right now? And he's like, if he dies, he dies. I was like, well, cold-blooded. We knew then that we were dealing with a monster. In the final fight at the Touch Gloves, he tells Rocky, I must break you. Drago's intimidating. He's a mountain of a man. He's about a foot taller than Rocky. Like, you just don't know how Rocky's going to survive. And this dude, he never breaks. Like, he never... In some of the movies, like, people get nicer. Like, Apollo's the villain in the first Rocky, and he becomes his friend later on. Like, Drago never gets better. Like, him and his son are the villains in Creed 2, so he's a cold-blooded dude, man, and that's my number 9, Ivan Drago. Best villains.
My number 8 is Mr. Michael Myers.
Michael Myers,
yes.
Halloween.
Yes, as a child, Michael Myers would terrify me because he chased a child. I was a child, so I felt similar to the child.
I couldn't put any horror movies on mine because I just generally am terrified of them for real.
Michael Myers, he made a career of literally just trying to stalk and kill a little girl. Basically, as she gets older, he's still chasing her, essentially, is what it is. But it's very scary and very jump scary induced. Just a wild villain. There's just nothing, nothing scarier than a guy popping out of nowhere and every 5 minutes.
Stabbing
you.
He's real stabby. Like getting stabbed.
You've been there, I haven't, think. But, yeah, getting the stabby stabs isn't fun. And I'm sure getting chased and potentially killed by someone that is actually part of your family is kind of weird and scary. And he's got one of the most recognizable masks and theme songs. And I'm going to say it's wild. And he's made a lot of movies over him chasing one person, essentially, and killing everybody in the way. My number 8 is Mr. Michael Myers.
My number 8 is Biff Tannen.
Biff
Tannen from the Back to the Future. Back to the Future trilogy. So, Biff's pretty iconic. He starts off in the first film as sort of a school bully, but really escalates it throughout the film. He was the bully of Marty McFly's father, George, back in the 50s. He grew up to be George's boss at work, and so he just had a, George had a continual life of bullying by Biff. When Marty goes back in time inadvertently in that movie, he ends up like head to head with Biff, and Marty's a little more confrontational than his dad. So Biff has to like up it to like almost a murderous level. He tries to like hit him with the car several times. He becomes the primary antagonist of all three films. And this guy, you know, he's going to mess up something every time like he pops up in the movies. Tom Wilson, who plays Biff, deserves more credit than he gets for playing this role and what he did with that character, because he plays Biff not only as a high school teenager, but he also plays him as a middle-aged, like 40, 50-year-old man. He plays him as an 80-year-old granddad, and he also plays him as his own punk rock grandson in the future. And finally, as a murderous, like 30s maybe year old cowboy in the Wild Wild West, all around the same ages. He's in his like early 20s, playing all of these different ages and characters. So, I mean, for that alone, he deserves credit, but he is a truly terrible person in all of these movies. He'll do anything to make sure his life turns out better than Marty's and George's, to the point that he'll kill people to get it done. And that just makes him terrible, but he's iconic, so my number 8 is Biff Tannen.
My number 7 is Mr. Obadiah Stane from Iron Man.
Okay.
I mean, number 1, you got the legendary Jeff Bridges playing Mr. Obadiah Stane, who is
the number 1 first villain in the MCU.
Yep, the number 1 villain. He plays Tony Stark Sr.'s, I think it's his name. Oh, is it right? Yeah, Tony Stark's, is that the dad?
Tony Stark's dad, his dad, yeah.
Tony Stark Sr., he plays his best friend and partner in their business.
What's he senior? Howard Stark.
Howard Stark's best friend. His best friend slash business partner, but then after Howard passes, Tony gets the reins of the business, and he's
like that.
And Mr. Obadiah don't like that, and basically he plots to basically get Tony killed and take over the family business as his own, and ends up being the main villain, getting very power hungry, and gets into one of the I think Iron Man suits or something like that. Makes his own beefy suit, and then just tries to kill Tony, and he basically makes nothing tears a heartstring like making fun, but to see his family member, so he was dogging Howard and stuff, and ends up getting his butt whooped by Tony, and he was the Iron Man 1 I thoroughly enjoyed watching. I'm like, this dude's gonna get it. You know, it's a good villain if you can, like, I can't wait, like, they build the suspicion of him getting his butt kicked, I'm like, yeah! He was a very good villain. Jeff Bridges killed that role, and he definitely was a good villain. He's my number 7, Mr. Obadiah Stane.
All right. My number 7 is the character Captain Hook. So, I'm going Captain Hook from Peter Pan, the animated Disney movie, but also Captain Hook from the movie Hook. I put Captain Hook on my list because I think he's an all-time iconic villain. He comes to my mind instantly when I think of movie villains. I mean, here's a guy whose whole purpose in life seems to be fighting with kids. and he's a grown man pirate. What kind of madman like wants to kill and kidnap children?
Michael Myers.
Yeah. There's
literally a clown and a gutter also wanted to do that.
Well, those are... Captain Hook's just a man. Those are like demons and stuff. Who's worse, you know what I mean? in Peter Pan, of course, like, he's Alpha Blood trying to kill Peter. In the movie Hook, though, he kidnaps Peter's kids, as just a way to lure him to come fight to the death.
Yep. You mentioned this recently in another episode. Yeah,
you immediately need to watch it. It's a great movie. It's like he couldn't let go of the rivalry from when Peter was a kid. I love the movie Hook. But I do think the animated Peter Pan version of Captain Hook is so iconic. Like, the voice and everything about it just kind of gets stuck in your head. And I just remember we went to Disney World, Taylor, when I was like 5 maybe. And every time I would see that joke, I would run for cover. Because, like, they have people walking around as Captain Hook. And they have a Peter Pan ride that he's in. And I just be like, like, Captain Hook's going to kill us. So I just think he's an iconic villain throughout history. So that's my number 7.
Captain Hook. When I think of the word villain, I think of one man now. Or two men.
There we go.
Or three men. Not like, but number 6 is one of the three men, though, and that's Loki.
Loki, yeah.
Loki is the villain of the MCU, like, not now, but
he was the primary villain in Thor. Yeah, he was the primary villain in the Avengers.
Yeah, he was a big part in Thor's movies and in the Avengers, like, when they're forming and stuff.
After that, he struggled. He bounces back and forth with his morality.
Yeah.
But in Thor and the Avengers, he's all villain.
He's a good character. He's basically the Lord of Mischief, basically. King of Mischief, whatever. And he's known, he can shapeshift and he can lie like a rug. And it's just, he's a very good villain. And just him and Thor's dynamics together is fantastic. And he's just very evil and he's very wicked and he's very self-centered, which most villains are. He's on number 6, he's Loki.
I just bouncing off of you, because he has his own show on Disney Plus, where he plays kind of a like anti-hero, where he's trying to do good, but he can't help being bad. And like the people where he's being held are showing him clips of like the things he's done, because he's like, I'm not a bad person. And they showed him like in the Avengers, like screwing that guy's eyeball out to like get into that building. They're like, look at the terrible things you've done. I was like, yeah, he was pretty bad in that Avengers movie. But my number 6 is John Doe from the movie 7, because they never knew his name. They just called him John Doe. He was a very scary serial killer. This movie's been in my head a lot recently because of the Batman. But John Doe in 7 was calculated and cunning. He was killing people based on the 7 deadly sins, like lust, greed, envy, gluttony, so forth and so on. And to him, it was all a very like sick game. He would leave behind these intricate clues and hints for the detectives. And I think the new Batman movie took a lot of inspiration from this movie. It was just crazy to watch because it's all about Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt's characters, who are detectives trying to capture this man. But no matter how hard they try and how smart they are, this dude, John Doe, is always ahead of them. He always has the upper hand. He's always one step ahead, even until the very end. It has one of the most like shocking endings because like up until the very end of this movie, like, he's always in control.
It's one of those they call him at the last second?
No, they catch him before the last second, but you know, it leads you to believe that it's over because they've caught him, but it was all part of his plan, spoiler. So even up until the very end of the movie, like, it's one of those movies where basically the villain wins. And I think that deserves you a spot on a villain countdown when you do better than the heroes of the movie. And like, I mean, 7 is a mind-boggling movie, but John Doe is a disturbing character and a very methodical serial killer. So he's on my list, number 6.
My number 5 is one that I have recently fell in love with, and that is the Batman's Riddler.
You're in love with a villain.
The Riddler in the Batman specifically was phenomenal.
Bruce.
He was played by Paul Dano, his name.
Paul Dano.
He did phenomenal. I've always liked the Riddler as a kid. Most people grew up liking the Joker's Batman's like nemesis. I love the Riddler because I loved riddles when I was a kid. And
Jim Carrey.
I loved riddles. I still like riddles, but I love the Riddler style of killing people and leaving clues, leaving hints, and Paul, yep, I see him right there. Paul Dano did phenomenal as a Riddler, and he's one of those two. Is he kind of played his own game with Batman and the detectives, and he got his way. He wanted to get called. He thought he'd done well, and no spoiler, but by the end of the movie, I got a feeling we're not. He's going to be prominent going forward in this Batman stuff, obviously, I think.
What's black and blue and dead all over you?
So the Riddler is just fantastic in the movie, the Batman, the way he drops clues, and he's... I like movies where you have to, like, kind of think with the protagonist.
You need to watch
7 then, man. I'm going to probably
watch 7. You love Morgan
Freeman. Like in Inception, remember, I had to think, but to think through Inception.
It's very similar to the Batman, just no Batman, and also it's more grotesque because it's rated R.
And then you got like the Sixth Sense blew my mind, stuff like that. I mean, it's just the Riddler was fantastic. He's a very good villain. My family, I'm glad he's getting more prominent now, and he's my number 5. The Riddler.
Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Riddler, number 5.
My number 5, and. Whatever, I don't care. The Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, you're picking, like, this is one that's out there a little bit, but...
Man.
This is one, like, your childhood scary ones.
The Wicked Witch of the West was one of the first movie characters I remember being afraid of, and not only in the movies, but also in my real life, because she sunk into my brain to the point where I couldn't shake her out, man. The Wicked Witch is terrifying. I don't care. Maybe you haven't seen The Wizard of Oz in a long time, but look her up. She's terrifying. You bet you wouldn't let your kid watch it, listener.
Trying to justify it.
Yeah. She has a terrifying laugh, and, I mean, say what you want. She's a murderous villain. She tries to kill Dorothy, who's a teenager, and her little buddies over some shoes. Come on now. She shoots fire at him, sends these flying monkeys to murder him. Like, she ain't playing around. But when I was a kid, I had so many nightmares about this character. Taylor, I thought that the Wicked Witch of the West lived in my washing machine in our house. So we had a washing machine with a clear front.
Yeah.
And I would have nightmares about her living in there and jumping out and grabbing me when I would walk past it. And also, she could open up a trap door on the front of our house and shoot a cannon at us. So, I'm telling you, I had intricate and elaborate nightmares.
I see.
About fighting with the Wicked Witch of the West.
Okay? I see, and you won.
Yeah, so, I mean, she was terrifying. I couldn't watch the movie. I liked, and I loved The Wizard of Oz, but whenever she would come, I'd like run and hide behind the couch. And, like, to this day, I watch it, and I'm like, I don't know about you. I remember you. You tried to kill me when I was little.
That's interesting.
That's my number 5, is the Wicked Witch of the West.
My number 4 is Draco Malfoy from Harry Potter.
Dobby doesn't like Draco.
Nope, no one likes Draco. His own dad don't like him. But Draco is kind of Harry Potter's schoolyard bully nemesis, and he's just very undermining and cunning, and he really doesn't have a sense, like, morals throughout the whole films.
He couldn't do it, though, when he had to kill Dumbledore.
Yeah.
He was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, besides that one moment.
He had a little crisis of morality. He was pretty bad before that,
though. Yeah, he was bad before that, and after that, he still really wasn't the nicest, but.
Nah.
Yeah, but he was a big pill for Harry to deal with. He was mad because Harry was basically chosen. He was not. And he was
Think you are, Potter?
Yep, and they had the infamous. They had a lot of duels back and forth.
Hand me down robes. Must be a Weasley.
Yep, and there's 2 quarter movies I thought you didn't watch.
I've seen them multiple times.
That's good.
I went to all of them with Caleb.
That's right. But Draco was always a guy, like, I'd punch you in the face if I was a little taller as a kid and now. But he was always annoying and like, I don't like you, and this. Rubbing the wrong way. He's the number 4, Mr. Malfoy from Harry Potter.
Oh, Draco.
Yeah.
My number 4 is the T-1000 from Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Yep.
Taylor's laughing because he ain't never seen it. I was legitimately afraid of the T-1000.
How we went from a witch to this.
You hadn't seen anything like this when this movie came out, because if you remember the 80s Terminator was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was bad in the first one, but he's good in the second one. So the machines send back in the second film a better version of the Terminator to kill John Connor, who is the savior of the world in the future. Mm-hmm. So they send this dude back, and he was made of a liquid metal that could shapeshift into anything. So you never knew if he was your best friend or your mom or some other inanimate object. Like, he could ooze under locked doors. He could turn his limbs into swords and stab you through the neck. Like, he was terrifying, man. And Robert Patrick played this dude with a coldness and emotionlessness that was very scary. And he was bent on killing John Connor. Like, and John Connor, spoiler, is like 12 years old in the film. And he will do anything to kill him, to the point that he kills his parents, he'd take out anyone and everything that gets in the way. He was just a great villain in that sense. And they used this really cool CGI at the time that blew everyone's minds. It's James Cameron, who made Titanic and Avatar. He's another one of these directors who's always been sort of breaking new ground and stuff with his films. And I remember when this movie came out, everybody was like, man, you got to see that Terminator 2. Like, it's just blow your mind. Because you watch it now and you're used to it because everything is amazing now. But, like, back then, to see that guy, like, shift and change into somebody else, you know what I mean, or to like make a weapon with his hand, like, we were like, ooh, how'd they do that? And it didn't look that bad.
He was in your jaw or something.
I was like 12 or something when this movie came out. But yeah, he was scary, man. Like, I mean, I would have died instantly. He was chasing after me. So that's my number 4 is the T-1000 from Terminator 2.
My number 3 is, sticking to the Harry Potter theme, Voldemort.
Ooh, back to the Harrys.
Voldemort. He's a very intricate part of essentially all the Harry Potter movies. Yep. And he helps make one of the most surprising like character shifts out of Professor Snape. Because throughout the movies, you think Professor Snape hates Harry Potter and wants him dead and stuff, when in reality, he's trying to protect him and he was in love with his mother. And
you know what? Me and Snape, we just, like, we got so tight after that he was in love with a girl he couldn't be with. I was just like, man, emo. Where are you?
Yeah, that's because it took, I think, 7 movies. It was a 7 movie character arc for Snape.
Yeah.
And
you never knew what team he was on.
He always played the fence, and then in the end, he showed his true colors, and it broke my heart for him. Like, man, between him and Dobby,
I know.
I'm just saying, and all this is because of Voldemort. Voldemort killed Harry's parents. Snape was basically Harry's guardian that he didn't want to know was his guardian. He basically played it cool. Like, I don't like this kid, but I love this kid.
Is Neville Longbottom the real hero of Harry Potter?
And that's also been, I've heard too, a lot of Neville. Because
I say, you don't get this, but I say Lando Calrissian is the real hero of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I
was like, he just like a minor character that did a lot?
I ain't no point in getting into it.
That's
here,
fine. But yeah, I understand about Neville.
He's the Neville Longbottom of Star Wars.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. But everyone else was ready to punk out.
Neville, like, kept going, yeah.
That Lando the same way.
Yeah. But Voldemort, he, like I said, just the way he was after Harry, specifically, one of the, why is this dude chasing after kids type of aesthetic, but...
You know what, though? I really loved him, Harry Potter. Like, the later ones, like, from Azkaban, it's hard to get through them first.
Yeah, because they have kids, but once they get, like, teenagers and feelings and stuff, it kicks it up a notch.
More serious.
It gets
a little darker.
It gets darker and serious, and it's just... Harry Potter is a phenomenal. I didn't read the books, but the movies were phenomenal.
Yeah, they are.
And like, because Professor Snape's character arc, usually a 7 movie span, it's hard to keep a character in like one.
And you knew that Voldemort was serious because as soon as he gets his body, he kills a kid instantly.
Yep.
Well, he tells somebody. One of his cronies.
But Voldemort's just—he's just out there. He's just crazy.
Speaking of Robert Pattinson,
he played World War II, right?
No, Robert Pattinson played Cedric Diggory.
That's right,
who was the first person they killed when Voldemort got his body.
That's wild. Yeah, but Voldemort's top villain level, top three definitely deserved. He's on number three, Voldemort.
Yeah, and Ralph Fiennes played Voldemort, if anyone was wondering.
He did a fine job.
So, my number three is Hans Landa from the movie Inglourious. And the second word is a curse, and I'm a preacher now.
Inglourious.
It's B-A-S-T-E-R-D-S. He spelled it. Spelled wrong.
Sinner, he spelled it.
Yeah, they spelled it wrong on the actual movie title. So it's the word that means you don't know who your daddy is.
Mama, what's that word? I don't know it.
But this character, Hans Landa, one of the best performances, period, in movie history. This is one of my top favorite movies. Christoph Waltz plays the character, and he made this movie and this villain he played to a T. He's despicable and terrible. He's an awful person, but he's also very smart and cunning at the things he does. He's a colonel in the SS for the Nazis during World War II. His primary job, they call him the Jew Hunter because, you know, Hitler's... whatever you want to call it, order was to eliminate the Jews. And what this guy would do is go around and find the ones that were hiding. And right out the gate, that makes him a terrible person. And he also is kind of like the head security for some of the top brass in the Nazi army. So before they do events and stuff, like, he checks it out. He speaks English, German, French, and Italian all fluently. And this guy who plays him in the movie can speak all those languages. It was just blowing my mind. He snaps in and out of being kind of like this charming, debonair soldier to flipping it into being terrifying and murderous, like, in the blink of an eye. He won the Oscar for this performance, and I think he deserved it. It's just one of those performances where you're like, this character is a terrible person, but you recognize that the portrayal was like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of excellent. So for that, Hans Landa is my number three.
My number two is kind of similar in William Dafoe's The Green Goblin.
Yeah.
William Dafoe.
Much more so in the No Way Home.
In the Tobey Maguire movies as a kid, I was scared of the Green Goblin.
Yeah, yeah.
He was terrifying. And the way he snapped in and out of being, he could be nice 1 minute, then stabbed with a spear the next minute. And he, in No Way Home, Spider-Man No Way Home, he carried that same persona. But what makes this wild is he legit switched dimensions, but gave no craps. And then he's like, I'm going to mess up this random kid's life.
Yeah, I'll just kill the Spider-Man.
And he just killed the Spider-Man. I can't take my Spider-Man, so I'm going to kill this Spider-Man and his random aunt. So, and William Dafoe, this movie is even a little more, William Dafoe is fantastic as an actor, and in this movie, in Spider-Man in general, he's fantastic, but in No Way Home, he acts like he's helping Peter and all that stuff, but then flip a switch, nope, and tries to kill him.
One thing they did in No Way Home that improved his character was they got rid of his dopey mask, because Willem Dafoe's face is so expressive, and he looks like a lunatic, just in general, so, like, yeah. When he would go full crazy, like, when Spider-Man's punching him and he's laughing,
yeah.
And then when he, spoiler, kills Aunt May, like, his face is just terrifying.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, William Dafoe, though, he made the Green Goblin very terrifying, and as a kid, he was very terrifying, but as a 27-year-old man, still being slightly terrified by this man, just by his face, like, I mean, no disrespect to William Dafoe, he's not a pretty man, but he's a phenomenal actor,
yeah.
And he deserves to be in the top two of anyone's villain history. He's on number two, Mr. William Dafoe's Green Goblin.
Okay, so my number two is the Joker, and I'm pulling from Batman 89, The Dark Knight, and the Joker.
You're an ologist.
So just the character in general, basically. Joker pops up into most people's heads when they think of big-time movie villains. He's Batman's arch foe in every medium, comics, TV, games, and of course movies. He's had three great iterations in the films, and one not so great. Jared Leto's version in Suicide Squad, Not too
he's
good.
He's improving slowly, though.
Yeah, he redeemed it a little bit in Justice League, in the Zack Snyder Justice League. So if he ever gets another crack at it, I doubt it. But if he does, I hope he leans into the Zack Snyder Justice League version more than the Suicide Squad version.
Yeah, Suicide Squad won't be good.
But I'm going with the other three. Jack Nicholson's Joker from the 89 Batman, because that was the original after the TV show. This is the first movie incarnation.
Did you watch that? I watched that movie, you were Jordan.
Me. We watched it for Doesn't Hold Up.
Okay.
But his version was so iconic at the time. He brought Joker to the masses in the movies. And he had an iconic laugh and just portrayal of the character. He was everyone's Joker in my lifetime until Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger came out 2008 and gave a once-in-a-lifetime performance as the character in The Dark Knight. Sadly, he passed away after that. I can't imagine what they might have done going forward with his character. But to this day, he's the most iconic movie Joker, in my opinion. I don't know how anyone will ever top it. But I did like Joaquin Phoenix. He proved us wrong, because we thought there could never be another good Joker after Heath, but Joaquin proved us wrong and played a great Joker as well. This character has had many different origins and motivations throughout the movies, but one thing's for sure, he's always a madman, bent on watching the world burn, and a real psycho in all three iterations. So I tip my hat to Nicholson, Ledger, and Phoenix for bringing the Batman's greatest villain to life in the Joker. That's my number two.
My number one is the Joker, and I'm going to shine light on Joaquin Phoenix's Joker.
Specifically. Okay.
This is not me saying he's the best Joker, but I think his persona of the Joker is...
He got the most time as the Joker.
He got...
His whole movie.
Yes, that's why. It's because in 2019, it was... Joker started kind of the movement of we want to see, like, villainous... Like, what made the villain the villain. He kind of started that narrative of wanting to see that.
Yeah.
And the Joker in 2019 was honestly my reasoning for starting to get my mental health checked. Because it shows, like, if you go without getting your mental health looked at, taken care of, you can end up being in your own mind like that to that degree. And that affected me tremendously.
He sure did have a lot going on.
Yeah, like
it wasn't really happening.
And I wasn't like to him, but I'm like, yeah, I got my own mental struggles, and I started getting my own self but I started taking my own mental health seriously, because I'm like, if I try and stifle it, it's not going to be well. So I think a lot of people felt that same way, but Joaquin Phoenix's Joker specifically made us see why he became crazy. We just, growing up, you just thought he just didn't like the guy just the bat. And then now he's like, well, everyone he knew and loved and cared about didn't care for him.
Yeah.
And this, that, and the other. And he had a reason. The reason he became the Joker was he's just like, y'all don't care about me, time to watch the world burn. And Heath Ledger's Joker is the best by far. But as far as, like, post Heath Ledger, sadly, we'll never have another. But Joaquin Phoenix is the best substitute for Heath Ledger going forward. And I'm hoping he sticks around in the Joker stuff and does similar things like that. But the Joker, as Joaquin Phoenix's portrayal, is just phenomenal. And shows how that being a villain, it doesn't mean you're a terrible person. It means you were driven to be that way. And by...
Some cases.
Some cases, yeah. But his case is that, like, he tried to be a good guy, but no one gave him time of day. And
right.
And he just became crazy and bad. And he's the number one. Yeah. The Joker, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix also brought some legitimacy to comic movies, because he won the Oscar for Best Actor, and the Joker was nominated for Best Picture. So.
Yeah, I figured Joker would be number one, so I'm kind of curious who your number one could be.
So, my number one, Darth Vader.
I don't look at your stuff, I'm more like be surprised.
My number one is Darth Vader from the Star Wars franchise. The thing about Vader is he's kind of the villain that you love to hate. Because, yes, he's a mass murdering, galaxy destroying nightmare. But it's also hard to not think he's kind of cool, you know what I mean? Because if you love Jedi, who use the Force and fight with lightsabers, it's like, how do you not like this guy who does the exact same thing, just on a different end of the spectrum? He's got the smooth-talking voice of James Earl Jones. If you don't know who that is, he also voices Mufasa in The Lion King. He has one of the most iconic voices to ever exist in history, period. And he's the voice of Vader. Darth Vader's also a beast at fighting. He can hand-to-hand kick your butt. He can lightsaber sword fight kick your butt. He can use the Force, kick your butt, all that. There's a scene in the movie Rogue One. So Rogue One is all about how these characters are trying to kidnap the plans for the Death Star, which is how the original trilogy started, with Luke and Leia trying to destroy the Death Star. But there's a scene when Darth Vader shows up in that movie and just wrecks shop, man. There's a bunch of like rebel soldiers on a ship who are trying to escape, and he locks them in there, man, and he's just force throwing them in the ceiling, chopping people's heads off. Like, it's just, man,
he was angry.
He's a bad dude, man. Yeah. His villainy is so legendary because he was supposed to be the savior of the galaxy. Mm-hmm. As Anakin Skywalker, everybody thought he was, because they have a prophecy of a chosen one who's going to come and bring balance to the Force and unite everybody, bring peace to the galaxy. And they thought it was going to be him.
He's like, nah, son.
But he got lured to the dark side over, you guessed it, a woman. So
here we go.
The Emperor let Anakin, yeah. He exploited his feelings for his wife, and led him down a path where he became Darth Vader.
All because of a woman.
Yes. It wasn't really her fault, but the Emperor used her to exploit Anakin. I remember thinking, he's not somebody I'd want to get in the way of. In the first movie, back in the day, he literally force chokes a dude to death just for sass talking him. You know what I mean? They're having a little discussion about why they wanted it. He's like, Lord Vader, I don't think it's a good idea. And all of a sudden, he's like,
Yeah.
It's like, If a villain's going to choke you to death for just giving him a little sass talk, like, you don't want to give him his best.
You don't want feedback.
Yeah.
That's why I trade around DT lightly. I don't want to give him no feedback.
Yeah. When you think of villains, if you got somebody that'll choke somebody to death just for giving them a little back talk, I mean, that's a cold-blooded dude. Vader always comes to my mind first and at the top when I think of iconic movie villains.
Well, Heath Ledger's Joker, the same thing. The guy gave him a lip and he just stabbed him in the head.
Yeah, right.
With a pencil, I think.
Is he going to see a magic trick? Vader, it just has extended my whole life because I love... has extended throughout my whole life. I love Star Wars since I was a very small child until now. Come see me in my office. I got a Vader toy.
Hanging off your lamp.
That's the Mandalorian.
I know,
hanging off the lamp.
Last.
But, yeah, Vader, my number one.
Yes, so that's our show, top 10 villains of all time. You got Darth Vader versus Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. Great mashup, great time, great episode. If you like this episode, make sure you leave us a like on Facebook, podcasts, wherever you listen to us. Give us a review, anything, something. Say something that's important, please, and give us suggestions on stuff. We like it. This has been Opinions from the Couch. It's been a party. I'm Taylor.
I'm DT.
This is Opinions from the Couch.
Peace out.